James chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 15. And James writes, "Then when desire has conceived its birth, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." And Kaufman wrote, "This is one of the boldest and most dramatic metaphors in the Bible. Restated, it means lust has a child named sin, and sin, as soon as it grows up, has a baby named death. The Greek word here translated brings forth is an animal word for birth, and it means that sin produces death. When man permits his natural desires to dominate his life, he becomes less than a man and sinks to the level of brute creation. The teaching of this verse is identical with that of Paul, who wrote, 'The wages of sin is death,' in Romans 6:23. Verse 16 and 17. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." And Kaufman said, as far as the "do not be deceived," inherent in this is the fact that it is just as possible now for men to be deceived through the allurements of sin as it was when Eve was tempted in Eden. The great temptation in all sin is to be deceived into thinking that it will not prove to be as bad as God declared it to be. Eve found, to the sorrow of herself and her posterity forever, that it was as evil and disastrous as God promised it would be. And on the Father of lights, what are the lights here? It might be thought that the light of intelligence, the light of truth, the light of the world, who is Christ, or the physical lights of the heavens, such as the sun, moon, and stars, are meant. But there is no need to restrict the meaning here at all. So he said it could be encompassing all of it. He didn't feel like we needed to restrict it to any of those individuals. God is the source of every kind of light. The almost scientific words of this verse, however, would seem to show that James was particularly thinking of the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Both of the words James used have to do with the movements which the heavenly bodies show. Such things as the movement of the earth around the sun, giving day and night, or the earth's tilting southward or northward, giving the seasons, and many other various movements are suggested by these words. By contrast, there is no variation with God. In God, there is no shadow cast by turning. God does not change. God is immutable. That, I believe, is in one of the Proverbs. Verse 18. "Of his own will will he... of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Kaufman said, "It seems natural to see in this verse a reference to the new birth of in immersion, or to the regenerating power of the gospel. The passage is a plain reference to the salvation which results from hearing and obeying the gospel. Compare this verse with 1 Peter 1, verse 23, where the new birth is also connected with the word of God. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It is the gospel of Christ that shines in this passage. The word of truth is understood to be the word of the gospel, and it is absolutely certain that the new birth is the subject of this passage. Now, that we might be a kind of first fruits, here again, James agrees with Paul. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul wrote, "God chose you as first fruits." These early Christians were called first fruits because they were a guarantee of many more Christians to come. So they were expected and they delivered by creating or teaching and having many more Christians to come. So in a that's the reference here of producing more fruits, and these are the first fruits that will produce fruits in the future. Verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath or slow to anger. And Kaufman said, the Christian who would strive for perfection has a real problem with his tongue, a subject James would give fuller treatment later in the epistle. The admonition would be slow to wrath was given by Paul this way. Don't let the sun go down upon your anger in Ephesians 4:26. If we treat men according to the first promptings of anger, we will always do them wrong. Verse 20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It is the proud man, the conceited man, who is easily made angry. So cultivate a humble opinion of yourself. All men should be like the person who replied to some derogatory remark spoken against him by saying, "Why, that is nothing new. All of those failings and more I stated as I prayed to God this morning on my knees." The particular meaning of this passage is that anger in the mind of man will not make him righteous. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Kaufman said of the overflow of wickedness, this is not to be understood as more than is necessary, because wickedness is the smallest measure. Wickedness in the smallest measure is already excess. The implanted word able to save your souls, James's teaching here is almost like a reminiscence of the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God, Luke 8:11. Inherent in this teaching is the fact of men being saved through the hearing and the obeying of the word of God. Before the implanted word can bring salvation to the soul, wickedness must be laid aside. Laying aside wickedness means that the man must himself do it and not wait for God to work some special influence on him. The implanted word in this place requires Christians to implant God's word in the hearts and minds. Verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Kaufman said, this is exactly the teaching of Paul in Romans 2:13. Not the hearers of the law, but the doers of the law shall be justified. By this reference, James almost says, my teaching is exactly what the Apostle Paul really taught. The passage in Romans has a primary application to doing the law of Moses. But by his declaring here, James showed that the same principle is applicable to Christians with respect to the law of the Messiah, a law which James would mention in the next line. In verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. So the hearer of the word, the expression word, the word, as used in the New Testament several times, is always a designation of the gospel message. The hearers who are not doers of the word and are compared to a man who glances at himself in the mirror and then goes away without making any move to cleanse his face, he just forgets all about what he might have seen, going on exactly as he was before. And verse 24, and we will end with this verse. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And Kaufman said, this is the same picture that is drawn by James in a different way in Matthew 13, verses 4 and 19, which is as written. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. The little birds just carried away the good seed. Those who hear God's word and then simply forget to do anything about it are the people meant here. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will pick up with verse 25 next week.